Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to...
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to another broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, Prophetic News. And we also want to make you aware of our website, propheticnews.com, and our YouTube channel, Prophetic News TV. And I have a guest today, Paul Jacobson, and we are going to be talking about a very sad day in American history when our president, John F. Kennedy, was gunned down in Dallas, Texas, November 22nd, 1963, a day I'll never forget. I was about 13 at the time, and I remember it well. It was shocking beyond belief and still shocking today for any of you that have studied some of the photographs and some of the history behind the Kennedy assassination, which we wonder if the full truth will ever come out. In our lifetime, anyway. But I'll be bringing my guest on now. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Susan. How are you?
Good. Thank you for coming on today. It kind of was a last-minute decision on my part to do this program since we just had the 49th anniversary of the assassination.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe that it happened so long ago,
mm-hmm.
when it's still so fresh in our minds. But I was doing some research actually the last few weeks and spending time on some of the videos that were posted on YouTube and some of the websites that deal with the Kennedy assassination, but
mm-hmm.
I was struck by how brutal it really was.
Yes.
When you look at the film of the actual killing, which is quite gory, really, but
mm-hmm.
the cruelty of this murder was so vivid because the first place they shot was his vocal cords.
Mm-hmm.
And with precision, this was not a one person shooting this man.
Right.
His wife was sitting right next to him in the limousine. And I think when I look at her, when he fell on her shoulder, when he was struck in the throat, and I guess over and over in her mind, she must have thought, why didn't I pull him down?
Mm-hmm.
No one reacted that day the way they were supposed to. And then, of course, he received the fatal head wound, which they blew his brains out right in front of his wife.
Yes.
There were... It looks like there were six or eight, maybe more Secret Service. There was actually two Secret Service, I think, driving the car. And then there was a car behind them full of Secret Service. There were motorcycle policemen, and no one reacted after the first shot. It's amazing to me how it all went down.
Shocking. Still absolutely shocking. Actually, one of the CIA, there's a picture of the CIA officer, in fact, video of a CIA, of Secret Service being actually pulled away from the back, being commanded to come back away from his limousine, which he was dumbfounded. He couldn't believe that his commanding officer was telling him to actually come away from the presidential limousine. And he was, because they were just going into the kill shot. They were just going past the grassy knoll, as it's called, in which there was undoubtedly a triangulation, possibly two, possibly three different shooters. But the thing about all of this, what it shows, and why Christians obviously should be, want to know about this, that want to know about prophecy, is that it was really the big bang, if you would heard around the United States and the world, of course, really saying the New World Order is here and we can do anything we want, even kill a sitting American president.
Yeah, the fact that he was gunned down in broad daylight, which in itself it was amazing. When you look at the video and the photographs of him in the morning, and he's arriving in at Love Field and greeting the crowds, and people just adored him. Of course, mm-hmm. we know he was a man with many, many flaws, but
of course.
He was much loved. People really did love him. He had about as much charisma as anyone I've ever seen.
Yes.
He could draw crowds everywhere he went. He was a very good, eloquent speaker. I think if people listened to some of his speeches, they sounded like they came from the heart instead
yes.
of totally scripted. I remember the inauguration. I remember how attractive of a couple they were. And of course, they're beautiful children, but
yes.
it was shocking. I think that, like I said in the opening, I was about 13 when it happened, so I remember it well. And I remember, yes, there was definite there was a definite shift in the way the feeling you got in the country after it all happened. It was never. It's never really been quite the same since then.
No, it hasn't been, because this was a hit that was clearly, as many researchers do now know. For a long time, they really postulated and felt that even our own government and government alphabet soups, if you will, FBI, the CIA. We're probably in on this, which is just it's almost impossible, I realize, for Americans to think that such high ranking individuals might be involved in a hit. But the thing is that there is something major we have talked about before, where the roads all cross and the roads all lead to, and there were reasons, obviously, why Kennedy was assassinated. It wasn't just Lee Harvey Oswald, as many now know and think, but they've not gone the extra mile to see exactly who some of these people are that were in charge of some of these agencies and were there that day. Do you know that George Bush the first was there that day in Dealey Plaza? There were some really he was a CIA agent at the time. There were some major names and people there that day that later became very important. I mean, there are links, but of course the link that is the most really damning, and President Kennedy spoke about it himself, because he gave a very important speech on secret societies. Are you familiar with that speech?
Yes, I am, yes.
I mean, this
explain
is really...
Explain to the listeners a little bit about that speech that he gave.
Sure. I have just a quote. Can I quote just a tiny bit about it?
Yeah.
Not very much, but you cut me off when it's enough. These are the words of President Kennedy, and you can actually see the video online. It's posted online, a lot of different places. Here's what he said, part of what he said. "For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military..." Here's the most important thing. He's talking about a country here, you know, a country state. "It combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations." And it goes on, but this was his famous secret society speech, which he gave to a meeting of newspaper, a famous meeting in front of the news people, and it must have shocked this particular entity that I think both of us know probably who he was talking about. Who do you first think of, Susan, when you hear that?
The CIA.
Well, they were definitely involved, and they fit the mold, don't they? They definitely fit the mold. You're correct. But people that have looked just a little bit farther, you take a look at the people that were involved, from the person that called the Secret Service officer that was in charge of the Secret Service detail that day, called him back, basically waved him back away from Kennedy's car, so that he wouldn't get killed or that there'd be a clear shot. All these men, from Jack Ruby. Just to give an overview, all of these men were involved in some way with some secret society, namely Freemasonry, which is a derivative, in my opinion, many different researchers' opinions, of the Jesuits, who wrote their higher orders, who then illuminated Weishaupt in 1776, illuminized eventually the American Freemasonry, and so it became something much more dark, much more lethal, even back starting in 1776 in this country. And there was a party, an anti-Masonic party in the 19th century we've talked about before. But there's links there, all these links, and all these high-ranking people in the CIA to the FBI. You're talking about J. Edgar Hoover, 33rd degree Mason, also a ranking member of I knew I'd run out of mind here, and within a few seconds, there's a major organization that basically run right out of where the Jesuits are run out of in Rome. That he was part of as well. It's, you have so many names, alphabet soup, but you know what they also have in common is that many of them were educated by the Jesuits.
Oh. Now that's interesting, because if people really dig deep, it's not the way it seems. Because we hear about Jack Ruby and we hear about Lee Harvey Oswald, we don't hear too much about who was really behind this, because it wasn't. Lee Harvey Oswald didn't get up in the morning that morning, and I mean, what beef did he have against Kennedy? I don't see the link. I don't know how much he knew, but anybody that wants to do the history of Lee Harvey Oswald will see that he did have some ties with the CIA. Pardon?
Clay Shaw was his CIA handler, and he also had liaison to the FBI as well.
Yeah, it was interesting that an FBI agent happened to visit his house. I think Hostie, whatever his name was,
right,
I was watching the on YouTube. There is a series called The Trial of Lee Harvey Oswald, which was done, I think, in the 80s, 1983, Vincent Bugliosi.
Right.
And I can't remember the name of the other attorney that represented Lee Oswald, but it was interesting. It's interesting to view that because there's some things you'll learn that you didn't know. There's some witnesses there that you probably haven't seen before. But anyway, this FBI agent had been at Oswald's house on the 1st of November, 1963,
mm-hmm.
just a few days before the assassination. So, yes, there definitely was a conspiracy to kill John Kennedy. And that cannot be denied. I just, thinking about it last night, and I couldn't get it out of my head. Well, what motive did Oswald have? Why? There wasn't any reason why he would have a motive to kill the president.
No, they tried to create background for him. They tried to, obviously he ended up being the fall guy, the patsy. And he even said that at one point. I think microphones even picked that up at one point. I'm a patsy, I think he yelled.
Yeah, he said, I'm a patsy. Now, another amazing fact about Oswald is he was never represented by an attorney. He had been in custody, I don't know, 24, 48 hours, I don't know exactly, before he was gunned down himself. He was assassinated.
Mm-hmm.
He was never given an attorney. They say he was interrogated mercilessly by the police department there. There is not one note or any record of any of the interrogations, which is very odd. And
right.
So, of course, he does come out a few times, and they're dragging him from room to room. You could see they were beating him up. He had black eye. But we'll never know what he said.
No, of course not. That was all, strictly the government got involved. I mean, you're talking about military intelligence, FBI. They got involved very much in covering this up from the word go, and trying to just completely get away by just, that they had framed Oswald as being the sole, and they've gotten away with it to this day. But the real reasons, if I could, I don't think I'm skipping ahead, but the real reasons why, the major reasons why he was assassinated, and if it goes back to the Jesuits, who are the military arm of the Vatican, and why Jack Kennedy tried really to, not just for politics sake, but because, people are compartmentalized, and Jack Kennedy definitely, there was a major part of him that wanted to do right, and that both he and his brother, as flawed as they might have been in morally or whatever that we've heard, they wanted to do right. So here he goes and gets elected with the help of supposedly the mob, right, in Chicago.
Yeah.
And they turn right around and start prosecuting mobsters.
Yeah.
That took a lot of gall, right, for them? I mean, from the way the mobsters must have thought about it. But
yeah.
Here's a bigger thing. He made his own church mad. He made the Vatican extremely angry with him. The Vatican wanted to see the what they call the Holy Crusade in Vietnam continue.
Yeah, because now this is an interesting point that I think most people don't know about at all. And
right.
I was doing some research myself lately about it, is that there was a war. Well, there wasn't a full-scale war where the United States was involved, actually, in Vietnam yet. Kennedy had sent over, I think, 300 helicopters. Now, I don't know why he did that, 300 helicopters to Vietnam. He had also, I think, did he send over 30,000
No, I don't, you know, I don't remember the exact numbers, but I don't think he ever sent over that many. I think that might have been the plan at one point, but he pulled the plug on that, from what I understand. He pulled the plug. I mean, the day after he was assassinated, it started to escalate again. The day that Johnson became president, within days, the Vietnam War was escalating.
Yeah.
So here's a major tell. This is a major tell. In other words, you know, something that gives something a major thing away as far as the Vatican being involved. Cardinal Spellman, Vietnam is known by some as Spelly's War. Cardinal Spellman took this President Diem. He was not president at the time. He took and he basically created a Vietnamese president out of this man named Diem. And he was the Vatican's man. They wanted to take. They were primarily. It's a primarily Buddhist, you know, country. Remember the monks burning themselves alive?
Yeah. Now that's an interesting point, because I thought about that this week. I remember watching news reports at the time, of these monks burning themselves, and I never put it together until the other day. Why were they burning themselves? Now, what reason did they have? Of course, we saw the news reports, but they never explained it.
Well, it was a brutal regime. You know, I don't even really know how he was installed as president.
He was a Catholic.
He was a Catholic, and he was groomed by the Catholic Church primarily on coming to this country. Being groomed by, in whatever way necessary, by Cardinal Spellman. Now he was the Cardinal of New York, and the most powerful cardinal in the country, like more or less like the Pope of our country at that time, you will. And I just want to remind anybody that's Catholic listening to this, we're not condemning Catholics, but we do have, you know, like even a lot of Catholics have a lot of questions about their hierarchy. Because it seems as though they've been hiding a lot of strange things over the years.
Like Jesus living in a wafer. Enough to make you run for your life from a religion that tells you that Jesus Christ lives in a wafer. So we want Catholic people to wake up. Jesus Christ is alive. He's real. He's a real person. He doesn't live in a wafer.
Yeah. No, nor does he want you to drink his blood.
No.
We're not.
Nor does he live in a little tabernacle in a box on the altar.
Right. and you can't. You can pray to him. Just talk to him, just like I'm talking to you. Probably with a little bit more reverence. I mean, I already have a godly affection for you, but we have love for the Master, and we talk to him.
That's right.
We can talk to him just almost like we're talking to each other now. We don't hear his voice back, usually. I never have, but he speaks deeper than that. He speaks to our hearts through his word and transforms it and comes to live in us. We become the tabernacle. Praise God.
Amen, amen.
And he's our tabernacle. You know, it's amazing. The more that I read the Word, that's the reason why we got to stay in the Word, because you just look at that and you start thinking about Jesus and the Holy Spirit. If you're born again, He will show you the meaning, the deepest meaning of His Word. The more that you're in it, and I know that you know that.
Yes, it's very true, because I have relatives. Of course, I was raised Catholic, but thank God I got out of it when I was.
Yes.
12, I had enough sense that I didn't want anything more to do with the phony religion.
How brave.
Well, I went to Catholic school. I saw what was going on there with the priest, you know, molesting children and the lying and the cheating and the... And I was being told that the priest represented God, so it didn't. Yeah, I said, no, I don't want any more of this. This is a bunch of foolishness. So anyway, thank you, Jesus. He rescued me. But of course, I wasn't born again until I was 31. It was many years later. But Catholics my Catholic relatives, they pray to everybody except Jesus. They're like, they're looking for this saint to pray to and that saint. And it's like all the focus comes off the Lord Jesus Christ. They have a brutal history. You cannot deny the Inquisition. You cannot deny what they murdered millions of people that would not join their church. Why does anyone want to belong to an organization that killed people or kills people because they won't join their church now? So,
what they figured out was that they could use all sorts of fronts. They could create all sorts of other fronts and organizations, infiltrate everything from the CIA. If you look at the people that ran the CIA at the time of Jack Kennedy and probably undoubtedly today as well, which I've not looked at, in fact, the Bush administration was actually called a Catholic administration because of all the Jesuits that were in his administration. He's actually, some people consider Bush to be the first Catholic president, not Jack Kennedy, because Jack Kennedy kind of went against his own church. I mean, what I had here, he not only, went against escalating Vietnam, he had DM, from what I understand, he had DM through the CIA assassinated. We assassinated DM. And that didn't make, if in fact that is true, that certainly did not make the Vatican happy, who had handpicked this man. And then, of course, the Vatican's primary intelligence arm in America was the CIA. Almost everybody in top positions were what you call Knights of Malta, was the group that I was looking for before. For the head of the FBI. The Knights of Malta are headquartered with the Jesuits. They take their marching orders from them. It's the Jesuits that run the Vatican. In my opinion, and I think in many others' opinions, the Jesuits, I think I said this before, long before in your broadcast, but that they basically usurped the Catholic Church a couple hundred years ago when they reformed, when they came back to life again. They were forever banished. They have their hands in the French Revolution, in which they killed countless members of their own, not their own order, but of other orders that they hated. You know, because of being banished, what they wanted to do was take the church over from within. That is exactly what I think they did. And I'm not the only one that came to the, you know, when I came to these conclusions, these opinions, I would then go and try to find not just to people that would agree, but I see how many people have actually, you know, seen this for themselves, discovered this for themselves. Well, you know, it's more than dozens. You're talking hundreds of people, and then you can go back 100 years and find publications. Spiritually Smart it's a website that has publications from, say, the 1900s that explains the nefarious practices of the Jesuits. You're talking about at minimum 60 million people tortured and killed.
Oh, yeah, much more than that. But yes. Don't we, for people that are interested in doing the research about the connection between the Vietnam War and the assassination of Kennedy, you can, put it in the search engine, and there was a man named Avro Manhattan.
Right.
And he was a prolific writer. He did much research on the whole connection between the Vietnam War and the killing of Kennedy. You can really see the parallel there, that there definitely was something to it, because, like you said, right after he was murdered, the war escalated to a full-blown war. Why we were there, I don't know. Even to talk to some of my friends that served in the Vietnam War, and why were we there? I don't even think they knew they were there fighting. But it caused so much division in this country. If anybody that's listening right now, if you were a child of the '60s like I was, you remember the unrest, the drugs that were coming into this country at the time. LSD. Who ever heard of LSD? All of a sudden, we have people taking LSD, and you could get it anywhere. who was giving LSD to people, people like Timothy Leary, who they say later on they said he was involved with the CIA.
Right.
And then we had the riots, the campus unrest. Actually, students protesting Kent State, they were gunned down.
Yeah.
For protesting. They were gunned down. Now, you talk about a crazy time in history, the 60s. It was a crazy time. We had so many assassinations. Martin Luther King Jr., the head of the Black Panthers. What was his name? Can't remember his name right now, but...
Right.
Malcolm X, right. And so, was a very, very strange time in history. They had the so-called sexual revolution.
Mm-hmm.
It was a wild time, I must say. It was really...
A lot of it could have been the fallout from... people realizing at a deeper level that something really horrible happened when Kennedy was assassinated. I mean, rebellion starts usually with something. And obviously rebellion against authority became even greater. You know, if it existed even before, it became something just completely, it became the norm then, social rebellion against the man and against government. Well, for good reason. You know, they felt that that something was rotten in our own country at the very top, at the very head. And you know what? That's never really changed. It's not changed. It's only, in my opinion, it's only gotten worse. But it's only here. You've got prophecy. This is about prophecy in the news, really. You're seeing. You know, we are seeing. We're living in the very last of the last days. In my opinion, I could be very wrong. I'm ready to live here as long as Jesus wants me to live here, but. I would prefer to go home to be with him the way that the world is turning.
Yeah, I know. Who would ever think that we would be alive in this time where things are happening so fast, right before us, prophecy is being fulfilled. But, yes, it's very true. After our beloved president, because he was greatly beloved, people openly weeping in the streets. We were devastated as a country to see our president gunned down in broad daylight with his wife sitting next to him. And then the person that was supposedly, they thought they had the person that shot him, they thought they had Lee Harvey Oswald, and then they decide they're going to transport him from one jail to another.
Mm-hmm.
And right before our eyes, we're watching TV, and of course we were glued to our TV sets the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa, we never turned the TV off. We just sat there and watched the events unfold. He's murdered right before our eyes.
Right.
I mean, it was a time.
I mean, Jack Ruby had, he was an informer for the FBI. He had a major relationship with the police department, so people just let him go past and kind of opened up. It was very strange. It was like it was staged. I mean, because it was. He undoubtedly was told when to come and do his business, but this man, I've read that he was wearing bugs at different at times. He had tie clip bugs. I mean, this guy was a sophisticated spy type of mobster. He was not just any ordinary mobster.
Well, and, you know that he was at the hospital. He was at Parkland Hospital. I think
really?
He was even at when Oswald, when they were bringing him from his cell for questioning, I think he was there. If you notice, you'll see him appearing at some of these scenes. Now, the interesting thing is, right before he died, Jack Ruby, of course, was in jail, and then he had terminal cancer. he said that he wanted to go to Washington because he wanted to tell his story.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I wondered why. I mean, he could have told his story right there. He wanted to tell the secrets of who was really behind everything. And I'm wondering if he ever wrote it down or if he ever did tell anybody.
Well, I'm sure 1,000 agents would have found every last iota of anything he ever wrote or had. But, you know, can I mention one other interesting fact?
Yeah.
There was a lawsuit, a kind of off-the-wall newspaper basically claimed that, do you remember this name, E. Howard Hunt?
Yeah.
He was part of the Watergate. He was a CIA officer. They made the claim, this particular newspaper was called the Spotlight News.
And yeah.
It was you remember that? And the point is that they ended up being sued by E. Howard Hunt because they claimed that E. Howard Hunt was the paymaster for the hitmen that did the hit on Kennedy. And he sued them for that, and he lost.
Oh.
A lot of people don't, and that there's something else that basically, you know, why he lost, I can't quite remember, but it was pretty astounding that he would have lost that sort of smear, if it was a smear at all. They basically proved that it was that he was the head of the hit squad.
Oh, well, there definitely had to be 3 or 4 shooters. It was done with great precision.
Right.
Definitely those shots didn't come from the top of a building.
No.
Another interesting thing, Paul, is John F. Kennedy Jr. Now, here was a very dynamic young man. I mean, he had about as much charisma as his father.
Right.
Very charismatic. Seemed like a very nice young man. And he's killed in a plane crash.
Yeah.
I don't buy the fact that he was an inexperienced pilot and he didn't know what he was doing. One interesting fact about that plane crash is they found the luggage in a different location than they found the aircraft.
Mm.
Now, to me, that means that there was an explosion in the luggage compartment for the luggage to wind up in a totally different area than the aircraft. There was something rotten about that whole thing too.
Oh, they definitely, you know, these powers that be that we're talking about, you know, they definitely didn't want another Kennedy in the White House, did they? The same people were undoubtedly behind. And I've read many different places that they were behind RFK's assassination as well. Just recent things coming out about how the CIA can and did program people to assassinate people. You know, mind programming has been around for a long time, actually.
Oh yeah, MK Ultra. They still do it today. They do these experiments with psychic power. You can read about it on the internet. These are all government-funded studies, which is kind of wild. Like, you know, it's hard to believe that they do these things, but they do. But also, if you remember, a few years ago, Caroline Kennedy, John F. Kennedy's daughter, she wanted to run for Senate. I think it was in New York State. I think she wanted to run for the Senate. And I thought, wow, well, they would be happy to have a Kennedy because with the name, and surely she'd win because she'd be a favorite. But they blasted her.
Yeah,
they really let her have it. The news media, they called her stupid. And I couldn't believe that the character assassination that went on against her.
Yeah, that's bizarre, and there's another tell that they would do anything that they could to keep a Kennedy from getting into a place of power where they can ask questions and probe things. you know, certainly the last thing they wanted was RFK in there, who already was a, you know, a go-getter, a man that would go after, you know, going after the mob. I mean, they made enemies of everybody. The other thing, besides with the Vatican, that Kennedy did was basically try to circumvent. Not only did he circumvent the CIA, you know, he basically did an end around the CIA. They had given him bad information. They wanted to embarrass him. Say, for instance, at the Bay of Pigs, they wanted to embarrass the president, so they gave him bad intel, is what they did. This was revealed by a man named Colonel Prouty. Wrote a book. I've got the book. My dad had it, and I've got it. And they gave, and purposely, that was a joint chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff that reported directly to the president. He knew that, and so he and Robert Kennedy practically started. They wanted to dissolve the CIA that Alan Dulles was running, another Knights of Malta, Jesuit, a Fordham University educated. It's quite a tight little circle that they've got there. And then the Federal Reserve. He started printing, of all things, the president has the right to print money. The government does, not the Federal
Reserve.
Yeah,
we know that.
and he started printing his our own money. And that's just one more branch, the economic branch, of really controlled by bankers who are controlled by, in my obviously non-humble sounding opinion, by going up the food chain again to the Jesuits. They've got their hands in this. I mean, the very first thing that Weishaupt did, the Jesuit, you know who I'm talking about, right, the one who basically created the Illuminati.
Oh, yeah.
Was create a major partnership with the Rothschilds, the major bankers, the bankers that bankrolled, say, for instance, in the Napoleonic Wars, he bankrolled the British and the French at the same time. I mean, they knew exactly what they were doing, and they've done it for centuries.
Oh, they've done it for centuries. After all, the Vatican has its own bank. It has its own government. The papal palace, the Pope's palace, is 11,000 rooms.
Yeah.
It's quite a place. They're the biggest real estate holders, I would say, in the world.
The richest organization on earth.
Yeah. Very, very, very wealthy. And it's like Jesus said, it's very hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven because money and power corrupts people. And I don't care who it is. If you're not close to God, you will be corrupted by money and power. We see this with the TV preachers, how corrupted they've become.
Right.
And
they're falling. A lot of them have taken a pretty big exposure and fall. I Lord put it on my heart several years, like 2006, that the faith movement within a few years was going to have some major falls. I just, you know, whether it was something that God showed me or whether it was just common sense, it's like, how long are these guys going to get away with what they're getting away with?
Oh, well, yeah, eventually, you know, God's merciful, but eventually, yeah, he does bring judgment. It's awful when judgment comes. Who wants to be judged by God? Oy, you know.
No.
Awful.
No, no. Right. No, not like that. I don't want to be.
No, not like that. But, of course, Robert F. Kennedy, when he was running, I must say, we all felt apprehensive because we're thinking, oh, no, you know, not again. And sure enough, he was assassinated also.
Right.
And right before our eyes. I wonder about him, too, knowing the danger and not having enough security himself. He didn't take the proper precautions either to protect himself. But I guess he decided he was going to live his life because he'd go out in public and he'd shake hands and he wasn't shielded. For someone that was a target like himself. And
you know, someone that reminds me of that did much the same thing and was accosted by and possibly murdered by the same people was Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln would, you know, he wanted, you know, when you see him in pictures and whatnot, Gettysburg, et cetera, you got people standing, you know, right next to him. He's just like part of the crowd.
Yeah.
And but there, he knew that there were threats on his life. He knew something inside of him knew that he would someday be assassinated, that he would be killed by this. Because, I mean, I think we've talked about this before. It goes back to that chick track that and book that was written by this Father Chinicky. You know, that, you know, Lincoln represented him against the entire Chicago diocese, and Lincoln basically completely exposed them for being complete criminals and crooked and trying to ramrod this priest who was in Kankakee, you know, in the jail and all kinds of different things. And there were 12 Jesuits that showed up at the final trial, and from that point on, Father Chinicky knew that Lincoln's life was in grave danger. Now, this is obviously way before he became president, but there were warnings. Lincoln said himself, there are quotes of Lincoln's where he said, you know, that if he were to ever be killed, and basically, and I'm paraphrasing, but that he knows very well who's more than capable of doing it. And if you look at other quotes from very famous people, especially in the 19th century, F.B. Morse, you know, Morse code, a famous Morse code, and many, Lafayette, that came over from France, obviously, in the Revolutionary War, talked about their famous quotes about the dangers of the Jesuits. And certainly, I'm not talking about, you know, every Jesuit school teacher in town. There's a hierarchy to this organization.
Yeah.
And it's I don't even know how many we're talking about, but they're very powerful. I mean, Loyola himself, there's a basic quote again, I have to paraphrase, but it almost amounted to that he runs the world from this little office in Rome. I mean, he would send out a message and send out, you know, they sent people to China and Japan. They were the first people to send people, anyone there. And they got, you know.
Oh, they sent people to this country. The Jesuits came.
Right.
To probably establish this country as a Catholic country.
Right. I mean, I think the very city that I live in, Des Plaines, I believe is named after, I'm pretty sure it's named after a Jesuit.
Yeah.
Somebody that came down from Canada and, you know.
Yeah,
that's
what it sounds like. But now that's an interesting part of American history that I'd like to get into sometime, is how the Jesuits came here. And they tried to convert the Indians, which they did convert some of them. But it would be an interesting study of history to put it together, why the Catholics came here, what they had in mind for this country. Most people don't know that much about that part of the history. But anyway, getting back to John F. Kennedy, some of the documents about his murder have been locked away. I find that very odd that these documents and the evidence has been locked away until a certain year. Like, why can't we see that? Why don't they want us to see it? And
because they want anybody that was involved to be dead.
Well, there's an interesting interview on YouTube by a newspaper editor, and I'll try to pull it up in a minute, but he claimed that, you know, 20 or 30 people were murdered that had actually been witnesses of the assassination, that they had strangely been killed themselves.
Right.
So also, there was a man that had participated in the autopsy. They brought the body of the president back to Washington, which he should have had an autopsy right there in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought him back to Washington and they did an autopsy. And the man that participated, I can't think of his name right now, but he has a testimony and you can see it on YouTube. It's on the internet. But he claims that when the body came, it was in a casket and it was in a black body bag, and that the brain was missing.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were. He said, "How could you do an autopsy when they didn't have the brain?"
No, because it was whisked away.
Yes.
And
also that he claims that there were other gunshot wounds. The Warren report said that there was only 2 shots that hit, which is ludicrous because John Connolly was wounded and Kennedy was so brutally wounded. There was more shots fired than that. I think I think those shots probably came from 3 or 4 different directions.
Right.
And there's so much information actually on the internet, pictures and videos of the events. This film that was made that day, we didn't see the whole film for many, many years. They'd never released for many years the headshot with his head brain exploding.
Right. Like the Zapruder film, is that the one?
Yeah, the Zapruder film. And actually, on the Zapruder film has been, Zapruder has been rearranged. They actually rearranged 2 of the frames. So, So it's been doctored.
Quote.
Now, why? Why? Why did not? And I think another interesting thing people don't know is now they had the Warren Commission that did a so-called investigation, which they didn't really get to the bottom of it. They just wanted to have Lee Harvey Oswald be the guy, and that was it. And then they also had an investigation years later. The House Committee on Assassinations, I think, did an investigation. Do you know much about that?
You know, I don't. That one I don't.
Yeah, I don't either, but that's something I need to really study on, because even after the Warren Commission put out their report, years later, the House did their own investigation. And then we have a man, Jim Garrison, the district attorney of New Orleans,
mm-hmm.
who brought to trial Clay Shaw.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, now this was a very nice man. I think he was a very nice man to me. He appeared like a very honest man. And they tried to destroy this man and call him a kook and all of this. But do you know much about Jim Garrison?
Well, I'm familiar with his character, especially because of the Oliver film. He's represented in there, isn't he, quite extensively? I mean, that's the...
yeah, but I don't put much stock in that film.
No, but it's the only... I know of him, and I know that he, you know, that he took it to trial and explained pretty well many of the things that we've hit on, you know, and how just impossible it would be. I think, is that where... Was the magic bullet theory in place at that time? I know he didn't come up with it, but he explained that it was more than one shooter that had to.
Yeah. If people want to, I watched something very interesting the other day. Jim Garrison, who did his own investigation on the Kennedy assassination, like I said, he was the district attorney of New Orleans, and he was on the Steve Allen show, and the interview is there for you to listen to. Now, it was quite interesting. Of course, they had Robert Dornan, a Catholic. I don't know if he was a senator or a congressman, but then they brought him in, and he was like the antagonist, and I wanted him to shut up because he kept interrupting Jim Garrison. And a few times try to make him look foolish. But now Jim Garrison was no fool. He was a district attorney. So he did bring some men to trial for the Kennedy assassination.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they weren't found guilty.
No. But the you know, time is telling more and more about where this leads to, and prophetically, the roads are leading to Rome.
Yeah, the roads are leading to Rome. Because we see the same thing in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that many have departed from the faith and given heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, of devils.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We see that the church itself has been infiltrated by these people that have come to bring division and to water down the word of God. And to make disciples to themselves, to their false gospel. And they've been very, very good at it, I must say. They have managed to seduce many, many people away from the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and his holiness and his righteousness. It's been very effective. Very effective. But I do believe that, too, that all roads lead back to Rome. Because who has more power? Who the Bible talks about the great whore of Babylon, and Mystery Babylon, and the woman with the stars and the moon, and of course they're talking about the Virgin Mary. Any Catholic knows that when you see a statue of Mary, you see the moon and the stars, and she's standing on the earth, and you know she's supposed to have all this power. And the Catholic Church, if you look into their documents even a few years ago when they had their Vatican II, they claim that they are the only true church.
Right,
they are the mother, and that anybody that doesn't belong to their church is a separated brethren. Well, I am not their brethren, and I am not separated from any Babylonian religious system.
That's right.
But even growing up a Catholic, we were always trying to convert people to Catholicism because we believed that anybody that wasn't a Catholic was going to hell, and that was it.
Right.
And if you weren't baptized, we were even told that we should try to baptize people before they died because if you weren't baptized a Catholic, you weren't going to heaven. But, of course, we never had any assurance of heaven anyway. We never thought we'd go. We figured maybe we could make purgatory, but... It's a ruthless organization. It don't put anything past them because if they would go as low as to put Jesus in a wafer, now that is pretty low. That is pretty demeaning. To demean the Lord Jesus Christ in that way is blasphemy. So.
They didn't always believe that way. I mean, a lot of these beliefs, a lot of those dogmas were created by absolutely corrupt popes. Some of them they even call anti-popes came up with some of the most, not being able to marry. I mean, that came up during, like, the 12th century or 11th century. A lot of these dogmas, like what you just mentioned, the transubstantiation, that came up later. In the history of the church, it sure wasn't in the first century. Sure wasn't in the fourth century. They added things, and then say that they can speak ex cathedra. Well, no man can speak ex cathedra. No man speaks, you know, like as if he were God. So, literally taking the place of God is what the Pope does when he speaks like that.
And yeah, that's true, and that's how growing up. A small girl in a Catholic school, we were taught that the priest represented God on the earth. And, of course, when we saw the priest molesting children, we could hardly think that that had anything to do with God. I mean, even a child could figure that out. I mean, I figured that out pretty quick, that this person cannot represent God on the earth and be participating in these vile acts against children. So...
Right.
It's a false religious system, and you need to come out. Like the Bible says, come out of her, my people. But we want people to know that there are many false prophets that have gone out into the world. And we need to pray for our leaders, pray for their protection, because no one ever you would never want to experience anything like we experienced in 1963 as a country. It was one of the most awful times. We spent many hours crying, weeping, great sadness, and
yes.
But we want people to know that God is real and the Lord Jesus Christ is real. He's a real person and he loves people. So, and he wants you to be born again. You're born once of your mother, and then you have to be born again of the Spirit of God and be a new creation. If you're not acting like a Christian, then you're not a Christian.
Right.
You need to act like a Christian. And thank you, Brother Vincent. Yes, thank you. God bless you for tuning in today. And everybody that was in the chat room, thank you for tuning in and listening today. But the Bible says, by their fruit you'll know them. So anybody can call themselves a Christian. And I'm a Christian, and thus saith the Lord. But if you're not acting like a Christian and you're not a Christian, then you need to check out what you really believe and start acting like somebody that knows the Lord Jesus Christ and knows his word. But Paul, I want to thank you for coming on today and for a very, very interesting program.
Oh, my pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for coming on last minute, because I just decided yesterday I was going to do this program. And I thought about you, and I thought, I bet Paul can help me.
Well, I hope that I did. I hope so.
Yeah, you did. You did. And I really, really thank you and appreciate you very much. And we'll do it again, okay?
Thank you very much, Susan. Thank you. God bless you greatly, greatly.
You too. You too. God bless. All right. All right, everybody. I want to thank you all for tuning in today and being a part of this broadcast. No matter what's going on in the world or going on in your life, I want to let you know that Jesus Christ loves you. He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. You will always be disappointed by people, including your friends, but you will never be disappointed in the Lord Jesus Christ. He laid down his life. Jesus Christ, the God of this world, came down from heaven and came to earth and died on a cross for your sins. He took the punishment that you deserve. And there's no greater love than that, that for someone to lay down their life for their brethren. He made a way for you to escape eternal punishment, hell, by accepting his free gift of eternal life. And how do you receive that gift? You receive it by asking. And you ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins and to come into your life and to give you a new life. And he does if you ask. He will. He'll give you peace and joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. We want to thank everybody again for tuning in. Don't forget to tune in next week. We'll have more great programs coming up in the future. This is such a blessing for us to be able to have this broadcast, and I'm very grateful to God for it. So thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Thank you. into a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.